I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game Day Podcasts from TalkSport. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Game Day, the appendix.
Welcome along. I know there are hordes of you downloading this, so I feel very confident. I'm Danny Kelly. This is the Game Day Record Book Podcast Appendix, which I think this is a award-winningly snappy title. Let's be honest about it. The appendix is the bit where we shovel in all the stuff that didn't make the already award-winning podcast at the weekend. Thank you all for joining us. I'm still here. I'm Danny Kelly, as I say. I'm still here with Mark Smith, comedian, football pundit, and, of course, England footballer. Paul Parker is still here with us as well. About half a dozen things we need to draw to your attention. Two of them to do with the media. And Mark, I think you wanted to first of all talk about the experiment about Amazon having all the football matches.
So we had Amazon Prime show the Premier League football the week just gone for the first time. And what was interesting about this was you could choose any game you wanted. Of all the games televised, you could pick whichever one you wanted, switch from one to the other.
They can had I just kick-off. Say that was depending where you have your Sky, your Amazon Prime account. Since I moved, they've got me with an Irish account, and so I couldn't see the football. But overall, tell us how the experience was.
So you didn't get to use it at all?
No.
So you've got no idea what I'm talking about?
I was sat in England, not able to use it. That's right.
That's ridiculous.
And when I went to the Amazon Prime site, I'm told, because other people showed me on Twitter, there it was, football across the top of it, moving images of Pep Guardiola and Harry Kane and all the rest of them. I had some advert for some terrible film that they made in Hollywood last year. Terrible.
Well, I'm sorry your experience wasn't as
good
as mine.
How was your experience?
Mine was great, because actually I've got a little app on my TV, so I press a button on my TV, and it's just like I'm watching normal TV, but
I've
I can switch between
I've
games.
Got the app. You're looking at it.
You're looking at adverts of films you don't want to see.
That's true. It's very true. Did you watch a game on it, Paul?
No, I didn't, because I was actually out at games during the week, so I couldn't see any.
Purist.
So I've got nothing I can really say about it, though.
What we should say, on a serious point of view, this is the future.
Absolutely.
The idea of paying £10 a game or whatever it is to watch a football match on a screen is old-fashioned, and sooner or later the Premier League will start their own platform. Or they'll be in partnership with Amazon or Facebook or somebody.
Well, the way they do it in America, NFL has their Game Pass, NBA has their own app. It all goes from the league directly to the consumer rather than have a broadcaster in the middle.
So it's going to bring prices down?
I think it will, globally, I think it will, yes, very much so.
Interestingly, also, Amazon smashed their records for subscribers to Prime. So it shows there's a huge appetite for this. So it is definitely the future.
I have no inside knowledge of these things, but I just happen to know because of somebody. I was in the sort of cyber world when I launched 365. That the persons who are interested, if Daniel Levy and Joe Lewis ever decide to sell Spurs, Facebook. It won't be an investor from the world of football, or it's Facebook are interested in buying a Premier League club, and that's the sort of size of one they would like to buy. At the other end, perhaps still the media scale. Very good fun over the last few days with our own Simon Jordan arguing with the people from Arsenal Fan TV, which I understand now I can't call Arsenal Fan TV. There's been some legals. Arsenal own the name, the word Arsenal or something. I don't know. AFTV.
Is that what you've got to call it now, from now on?
So I believe. Robbie, who runs that, who's been a great friend of TalkSport, overheard myself and Simon talking last weekend, where Simon was being tremendously disparaging. He thought that the toxic nature of Arsenal support, as represented by AFTV, had been no help at all to the club, the board, or Unai Emery. They're battling it out on TalkSport this week. No doubt you can hear it on the station. But my favourite thing about it this week is obviously the club has been dominated for the past 5 years with little signs, big signs, graffiti and billboards saying Wenger out.
Yep.
The first appearance this week under an arch just near Drayton Park as you walk down towards the Arsenal Mordor of that big space station of a studio. Stadium. It actually says AFTV out. And I applaud whoever got in the middle of the night to spray that on
Fantastic.
A wall.
AFTV out.
It's better being called VTV, isn't it? Vile TV. It's awful.
Well, what do you make of it, Danny? Because to me, it's one of those channels which... It thrives when things are going bad on the pitch. And in a way, are they hoping that happens so they can get more views?
I was a music critic for 20 years before I took up football broadcasting. And I know that it is very hard and not very entertaining to write a positive review. This record is great. Go out and buy it. If you get stuck into something that's rubbish, it's fun to do and it's fun to read. And let's be honest about it, you're a hypocrite if you don't say, when Arsenal get trashed, the first thing you do, go to the corner shop, get the popcorn and get ready to see troops and all the rest of them going absolutely bananas about how bad Arsenal are. They're only as bad as most other teams most of the time. But they have this amazing outlet for their venom, for their spite, for their bile and for their honestly held opinions. I get it. But it's entertainment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course it is. And they do it very well.
Well, all they do is stick the microphone in front of some ingrates and ne'er-do-wells and off they go. Speaking about the mighty Arsenal, did they play part of the game the other day against Brighton? I mean, I know it looked like they only had three men on the pitch most of the time. Did they genuinely play with just 10 men at one stage?
Yeah, they did. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, one of the finest strikers in the league.
Captain, by the way.
Got caught short, didn't he?
I missed this.
Right, so off he... I mean...
Off he trots, no pun intended.
Yeah. Off he trots at the toilet. No one really notices until he comes back onto the pitch.
I want to know, was it a number one or number two? Because if it was a number two, why didn't he do a Gary Lineker and he'd still been there with his teammates?
That was international football. I think you're allowed to do it in an England kit.
Oh, right.
Have you ever got caught short playing or any of your teammates, you remember?
See, he's having a go at me again, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, rightly why so.
No, I didn't say have you been called short. I said caught short.
Right, okay, sorry. I got a bit mutton.
He's messing with me, doesn't he?
No, never. I've seen a player go off before because he had really, really bad and he had to go off. But he asked permission, though, if he could
To be fair to Aubameyang, I was out on the ground the day of Lasagna Gate at West Ham.
Were you?
Absolutely. I was there working for BBC London.
And Carrick couldn't walk, could he?
Michael Carrick evacuated himself, not in a public toilet, shall we say that? No stronger than that. But the first players were literally going on and off throughout the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely ludicrous, but it really was.
West Ham,
the most ludicrous thing was, of course, they allowed the game to be held up for 3 hours, didn't they? It needed 24 hours, they were told by doctors, but for whatever reason, they didn't do that. And I remember Johnny Jackson, who was a reserve at the time, these days coach at Charlton, and what was the centre half from Morocco called? Nouredin Nebet. They had been told they weren't needed for this fixture. Off they got. They were in Heathrow for their holidays. And then a phone call went out and they both turned up in the car park at West Ham. The taxi disgorged itself. Out comes the professional footballer, followed by professional footballer's wife, followed by the luggage for 2 weeks' holidays. There's a kit. Get yourself ready. You're playing. He should have started them. At least they hadn't eaten the lasagna.
But it wasn't lasagna in the end.
What was it?
It was a virus.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because they had to go to the Marriott Hotel and they had tests done on the food.
Apologies to the Marriott Hotel's lasagna cook in that case.
So Lasagnagate, good title, but actually neurovirus.
Interesting comment about Huddersfield Town. Struggling a bit, even with the Cowley brothers in charge. One of the reasons, according to Danny Cowley, after their most recent defeat to Leeds United, there weren't enough left-footed players in the team. Indeed, Paul, there were no left-footed players in the team. They started an 11 of all right-footers.
That's an interesting way of saying that, or an excuse to kind of cover up that your manager of Huddersfield, your team are poor and you've lost against them, maybe what they call their nearest rivals or their biggest
local, rivals. Their local rivals,
their biggest rivals. No, that's awful, isn't it? I don't think that's ever been used before and I don't think anyone can... Oh, right, you've got to pick
it's
a team.
It's nice to have balance, isn't it?
Yeah, but you judge them as a player. Maybe sometimes you want your left back to be left-footed, nine times out of ten.
And I would say to Mr. Cowley, what about Aspilicueta? What a career he's had playing on the wrong side. Chelsea eventually played him on the right as right wing. He's a right fullback. He's left-footed, the lad. He's just done it because he's a good footballer and because he's a good pro.
But what are the odds of having all? I mean, just
oh no, the odds are against having a load of left-footed players, isn't it?
No, but having 1 to 11 all right-footed, statistically, I'd have thought you'd have someone left-footed in there.
I don't know what the figures, because I'm my partner is left-handed. It's 1 in 11 people, so 9% are left-handed. But left-footers, I think, are much more common, aren't they?
Yeah, but also in a football club itself, you'd imagine that there'd be. This isn't just general public you're talking about.
Well, I also thought, Danny said that. I said, hang on, who picked the team? You picked the team. You must have known this before they went out in the lovely blue and white stripes.
I would like to see the heat map for that game.
Do you think it's all down one side? Well, that was also true. Somebody tell me, I missed the draw. Oh, no, I was working during the draw for the third round of the FA Cup. We did it live here on Talk Sport. But I missed the sort of the bit where the people jump around afterwards and say how pleased they are with the draw.
Yeah, this is a really good story. So Man City have got Port Vale in the next round of the FA Cup. And Tom Pope, who is a striker for Port Vale, said a few weeks ago, maybe in the summer, he put out a tweet saying, look, I know I'm a League Two player and I know he plays for England and I know he's on 150 grand a week. I know he's a million times better than I am as a player, but I'd love to play against John Stones every week. I'd get 40 a season. Lo and behold, he's got his chance to prove it, playing against them in the next round of the FA Cup.
Well, let's hope that John Stones recovered from whatever took him out at the weekend in order to get a chance to prove this theory.
I just wonder whether John Stones kind of maybe heard about it and he's kind of gone, oh, no, I don't want that one. That's a challenge. I don't need a challenge. I'm Man City centre-half. Why do I want to put myself under that kind of pressure?
Well, good luck to Tom Pope if he does get a chance to test his theory. I think 40, I've had my criticisms of John Stones, but that is really strong in it, isn't it? And finally, let's always try and end on a positive if we can. Congratulations. Paul, how long did you play for? When did you retire? How
old were you? I retired when I was 33 years of age.
Okay. Injury, the usual thing?
I just didn't feel good in myself and I didn't think I could do myself justice anymore. People said that happened more so when I was about 27, 28, but I fought through that battle.
Yeah.
And I went to 33 and I decided...
Anyone can have a bad spell that lasts 2 or 3 years, can't they?
No, that's exactly right. I know all about that. I've dealt with it well, though.
Well, therefore, hats off then to Joaquin, to give him his proper name, the Spanish footballer who started at Real Betis. He's gone on to have a fantastic career in some of the biggest clubs in Spain and, of course, many caps for Spain as well. But, Mark, he gets better and better. 38 years of age.
30 years of age. He scores his first hat-trick in his career.
In La Liga. We're not talking about Hacking Marshes now.
Absolutely. In La Liga, top level. He scored it. All three goals inside 20 minutes.
Against Bilbao.
And, I mean, what a story. What a time to leave it to score your first hat-trick. 38.
But don't you think now he should actually retire?
He should have retired as the third goal went in. He should have announced his retirement.
Which would allow him to say, thank you very much, I will now take my Bilbao. Thank you very much,
Danny.
I'm here all week. Enjoy the liver. He's Mark Smith. He is Paul Parker. I'm Danny Kelly. I'm never going to make a career as a comedian. Thank you for downloading the appendix to the Game Day Record Book podcast. Tell your friends about it. If you hate it, still tell them about it because we can still use some publicity. And join us again next week for both the appendix and the Game Day Record Book podcast. They're coming to you through Talk Sport and they're award winning.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.